For our scripture reading, we'll turn to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. I want to preach on old age tonight. I feel increasingly qualified to do so. But we're not interested really in what an individual and a person has to say, but what the scriptures have to say about this matter. So we're going to focus our attention on part of Psalm 92 and then some other passages of scripture as well. Let's read this psalm responsively. I'll read the first verse, you the second, and so on right down to verse 15. So Psalm 92 and reading responsively. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish, all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Let's read the last together. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. We do thank God for his holy word and the wonderful promises and assurances that he grants to his people. Now please turn again to the psalm that we read together, Psalm 92. There is another psalm that you could look at in relationship to this particular area of aging. It's Psalm 71. We'll turn briefly to that later on in the message. But this is a wonderful little passage that we'll focus on, verses 12 to 14, actually 12 to 15. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This little passage describes for us a child of God who is flourishing in old age. And we want to live the Christian life and face the challenges of the Christian life, and then we want to finish well. We have been talking about and studying the whole matter of living the Christian life and some of the challenges that face us as we seek to live the Christian life in this dark world. Well, we want to live the Christian life and face its challenges, and then, as I say, we want to finish well. As we draw to the close of our pilgrimage in this world, we want to be careful by the grace of God to finish well. We want to finish well because one of the greatest challenges of living the Christian life is living the Christian life through the trials and tribulations that old age brings. And these people seem to be doing it. These seem to be people who are described as those who are doing just what we're hoping we shall, by the grace of God, do. They are finishing well, they're flourishing, and they are those who are still bearing fruit in old age. Notice verse 14 that he says, they shall still bear fruit in old age, they shall be fresh and flourishing. The word fresh literally means fat, full of sap. They are consequently, as a result of being, obviously you understand the metaphor talking about vegetation, and they're saying they're fat, and consequently they're flourishing, full of nourishment. And as a result of being full of nourishment, they are bearing fruit. They are fresh and full of luxurious growth. As you drive up to Ancaster, up what we comically call the mountain, we drive up there and you see all kinds of trees, and the vegetation at this time of the year presently is so flourishing, so rich and luxuriant. And that's the kind of thing that he's saying here about these people in a spiritual sense. And they are flourishing. What's more, he says that they are like the palm tree and like the cedar in verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And these are good things. These are good descriptions. Both these trees are symbolic of strength and longevity and desirability. And the psalmist is saying that these old people, these old believers, they're just like that. They're doing so very well. They are strong and they're durable and they're bearing much useful fruit, just like the palm tree. And they're doing it even into old age. The palm tree, we're told, I'm told, apparently bears its greatest amount of fruit in its mature age. I know next to nothing about palm trees, but that's what these people tell me that I read about. And that would fit then with this, that these palm trees bear so well in their mature state. Well, the psalmist is saying that's what is happening with these believers. And really, that's what ought to happen in the lives of all of God's people. So they're bearing fruit. Now the question is, what kind of fruit are we to expect in believers who are finishing well? If they're finishing well, what kinds of things shall we see in their lives? Well, first of all, we shall see the fruit of a thankful spirit. The fruit of a thankful spirit. Now that's not always the case with God's people. And I want to quote to you from a man by the name of Clifford Pond, who is a retired Baptist minister in England. So he's an old man, and he wrote a book called Autumn Gold about aging and glorifying God in old age. So I'm quoting him when he says this. And he says, too often older people are prone to bitterness, a critical spirit, ingratitude, and irritability. And so sometimes if you visit, for instance, nursing homes, you might find that to be the case. But there is that tendency, and this observation, we shall just leave at that. But the psalmist is saying that it is entirely appropriate and right and good for the believer, and then especially for the child of God in senior years, to be characterized and marked by a thankful spirit. Go back to verse 1. And notice what the psalmist says. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. And then thanks is almost equivalent to praise. And he goes on to say, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And that word good there is a little anemic. It is a wonderful thing. It is an excellent thing. It is an appropriate thing. It is a delightful thing. It is a suitable thing. It is something entirely appropriate and suitable for the believer to give thanks to God and for the believer to sing praises to God. And in fact, when you come to the New Testament, you see that that is surely the case. And we ought to praise God because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, Paul says in Ephesians 1. And he says we ought always to give thanks to God. That's the will of God for us. So all Christians at all points in their lives ought to give thanks to God and be characterized by a thankful spirit and have the fruit of a thankful spirit bearing in their lives all the time. And it is certainly true of saints who have walked with God for many years, because they've had the privilege, year after year and decade after decade, of seeing and observing firsthand the faithfulness of God, watching how God works, digging into the Word year after year after year after year. What a privilege you've had if you have been a Christian for many years and you're in the twilight of your years, as it were. What a privilege you've had to walk with God for all those years. What a privilege to be digging into the Word of God all those years. How much more you've learned through all of those years. You've been walking with God and learning about God and growing in the knowledge and grace of Christ all those years. You're tremendously privileged and have such reason to be thankful to God. Go back to Psalm 37, verse 25. Psalm 37, verse 25. And the psalmist says, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful. So thanks be to God, because you have seen the Lord faithful down through all of the years, not only in your own life, but you've watched it in the lives of God's people. And if you've been in this church for several decades, you've seen people come and go. They come here and then they move somewhere because of job or for whatever reason. But in so many cases, you see the faithfulness of God demonstrated in their lives, and you have a wealth of illustration in your mind and in your heart as to the faithfulness of your God. Then go over to Psalm 71 and verses 17 and 18. Psalm 71 and verse 17. And the psalmist says, O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. He can look back. The Lord has taught him from his youth and right up until today, now in his old age. All through those years and right up until today, he declares the wondrous works of the Lord. And he wants to do it. And he wants to do it to this generation. Why? Well, because he's seen and tasted the goodness of the Lord, and he wants to praise the Lord because of it. He is not marked by bitterness. He's not marked by irritability. He's not discontent. On the contrary, he is full of thankfulness to God for the Lord's goodness to him. That's the kind of man that is being talked about, the kind of woman who is described there in Psalm 92. They bear the fruit of thankfulness. Now, in the United States, cosmetic surgery is a, get this, $15 billion a year industry. $15 billion are spent to nip here and tuck there so that people look marginally better, but certainly not natural. Now, what this involves is a wrong view of physical appearance, wrong views of the body, but it also involves wrong views of old age. And it involves an exaltation of youth that is quite unbiblical. And our young people, I trust, understand that the Bible doesn't have the same kind of perspective that North American culture does, which exalts youth and you need to do everything you can to retain your youth. Biblical perspective is quite different. In fact, gray hair is a crown of glory, the book of Proverbs tells us. And in fact, our hymns echo the same sentiment. Even down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs, gray hairs, shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. And so even down to old age, even when gray hairs adorn the temple, perhaps he was not so much up here, but the gray was over here. And so even at that point, you adore the Lord and you ascribe praise to his name. And then what a privilege it is, isn't it? To be able to declare, to be privileged to tell the next generation how good God is, how gracious he is. What a tremendous thing for grandparents to be able to reflect further back than parents can and tell stories about the goodness of God from way back. and to relate to them lessons from the Word of God that they've been learning down through decades now, praising the Lord to another generation and bringing the Word of God to such. So there is, first of all, then, the fruit of a thankful spirit. Secondly, there is fruit of spiritual vigor. The fruit of spiritual vigor. Verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, obviously, he's talking about spiritual vigor here. He's talking about spiritual life, and he's saying that they're going to flourish spiritually. And there's no wonder that they flourish spiritually because they are planted in the courts of the Lord. He's talking about trees and vegetation that flourishes in courts. Well, in those days, in the ancient world, if you were affluent and you had lots of money and you had a big house, most people didn't, but if you did, you had a big house, then you would have had a house that goes like that and a court in the middle. And in that court, you would have one or two or three little trees. And those trees, if things are going well, they're flourishing and they're growing and they're bearing fruit. Well, there are trees then in the court of that affluent little home. Well, what the psalmist is saying, that the people of God, they are flourishing. They are planted in the courts of the Lord, and they are doing well, and they are bearing fruit, and they are growing, and there's life there. There's not dead. They're not dead. You wouldn't go up and look for fruit and find nothing. So the Lord Jesus curses that tree. No, you wouldn't find that kind of thing with the people of God. You go and you find the tree is fresh and it is flourishing. There's moisture, there's nourishment, and it's bearing fruit. Spiritual vigor is what is being pictured. And communion with God is what is being suggested. Because they are planted in the house of the Lord, in the courts of God. And that's why they bear fruit, because they are walking with the Lord, because they are communing with God. And that's the secret of their vigor. You don't have spiritual fruit just because you get old. And Christians, just because they get old, doesn't mean that they're going to bear fruit. Age doesn't do it. Mere years do not accomplish it. When I started my ministry, I was 22 years old. I used to think to myself, I remember specifically thinking, I can't wait till I'm 40 because then I'll be wise. I was facing all kinds of difficulties, things I had no idea how to deal with. And I thought if only I was, 40, because that was as high as I could imagine being. If only I was 40, then I'd understand and then I'd know. Well, it doesn't come just because you're 40 by any stretch of the imagination. And spiritual fruit doesn't just pop into being just because you're getting old. No, it's tied to communion. It is a result of your walk with God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. Proverbs chapter 16. And verse 31. How much better, I'm sorry, wrong verse. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Now that second part is a little hard to understand exactly what is being said there, but what we have here is as good as any option. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. And so silver hair is a crown of glory. If in fact here are people who are walking with the Lord, then old age is a crown of glory. If in fact they are close to God and walking with Him, and then there is spiritual vigor. So if you would finish well, and if you would bear fruit in old age, then walk with the Lord now and keep walking with the Lord down through the years. You see, this old age message is not just for old people. It has to do with, I almost said you and I who are young, betrays my bias, I suppose. But those who are younger, it applies to all. Because we need to walk with the Lord now and keep walking with the Lord. And then, as we walk with the Lord down through the years, by the grace of God, we accumulate wisdom, which, Lord willing, we'll be able to dispense to others in our senior years. And you see, that's the kind of thing that you see with these people in Psalm 92. They have walked with the Lord, and so they're able to bear fruit in old age. Now turn to Psalm 71. I mentioned that that's another wonderful psalm that deals with this matter. Psalm 71, we'll look at a few verses. Psalm 71, verse 3. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall continually be of you. Down to verse 14. But I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness only, of yours only. Then verse 22. Also with the lute I will praise you, and your faithfulness, O my God. To you I will sing with the harp, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, O my soul, which you have redeemed. And my soul, which you have redeemed, my tongue shall also talk of your righteousness all the day long. And so God is faithful, and they are those who are continually walking before the Lord. They're resorting to Him continually. You see earlier on in verse 3. They resort to Him continually. I will hope continually in you, he says in verse 14. And so even aged saints continue to walk with the Lord, continue to trust the Lord. And they need to, because you'll remember that it was David in his later years who falls with Bathsheba. It is not David in the bloom of his youth, but David in his later years who falls in that drastic way. And so we need to be very careful to always walk closely with the Lord, even in old age. And the fruit of spiritual vigor must continue to be evident in our lives. What's more, these people are continuing to learn. They're continuing to learn. Look at verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Spurgeon says it was clear that he was still learning. He learned in his youth, and God taught him when he was young, and he's continuing to do so. However old he may be now, he is continuing to learn. He's not resting on his laurels, as it were, but he's continuing to learn. The oldest saint, says Spurgeon, still goes to the school of the Lord Jesus. The wisest saints are those who most readily confess their folly and consequently their readiness to learn and to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You read that Jonathan Edwards in his 50s was eager to improve his grasp of the original languages of the Bible. Now, when he was 50, he had a pretty good grasp of the original languages. He was, some suggest, the greatest mind in American history, and certainly the greatest mind in evangelical Christian history in the United States. But whilst he is in his 50s, he is eager to learn. He's not at that point resting on his laurels. He's eager to learn, eager to grow and grasp. And that's the way the people of God ought always to be. What's more, they're still eager to testify about God. They're still eager to testify about God. Verse 17, you've taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, verse 18, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. So now in their latter years, they're eager to tell people. He is eager and he's determined. He wants to let people know what he knows about God. So John Newton was an old man. And John Newton, the minister at St. Mary Woolnoth, and he was too weak to get up to where the pulpit was, and so they had to carry him up. And as he was being carried up, somebody approached him and said to him, "Really, Mr. Newton, you are so feeble, you ought to give over. That is, you ought to let someone else do it." Council of people is not always wise, but they offered that nonetheless. And Newton's reply to that was this: "What," he says, "shall the African blasphemer ever leave off preaching the grace of his master as long as there is breath in his body?" "No, never," he says. And so you may not stand behind a pulpit to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ, but wherever you are and whatever your situation may be, while there is still breath in your body, you are determined, no matter how old you are, and especially perhaps if you're older, to declare to this generation the goodness of your God and tell them all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see that they are still crying out to God and clinging to the Lord. They're not drifting from Him. Even in old age, they're crying out to Him. They're seeking His face and they're clinging to the Lord. Verse 7, "I have become as a wonder to many, but You are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Your praise and with Your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails," and so forth. But he says, well, even in this situation, I will declare Your praise and I will tell Your glory. And they cling to the Lord. "Do not forsake me. Do not cut me off and cast me away. Enemies surround me, but He looks to the Lord. Difficulties abound, but He looks to the Lord." And they keep looking to the Lord because they know they will find Him. God promises in the Old and the New Testament that He will never leave and He will never forsake His people. And so His people always look for Him because they know they'll always find Him. And so here you see these are tremendous people. These are people who manifest the fruit of spiritual vigor. And then third, the fruit of steadfastness in suffering. The fruit of steadfastness in suffering. Now, the psalmist here doesn't really talk about the matter of suffering. Doesn't intimate anything about this, really, in terms of the particular sufferings of old age. But the Bible makes it very clear. The Bible has a very realistic picture and portrayal of what life is like as you get older. And it makes it clear that things are quite difficult. You know the passage in Ecclesiastes. Just turn there for a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 3. Very affecting pictures that are set before us here. "In the day," of course it's the day of old age, "in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders," the teeth, "cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows, the eyes grow dim, when the doors are shut in the streets and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low, also they are afraid of height and of the terrors of the way, and the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper is a burden, and desire falls, for man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets." So these are powerful images of the deterioration of the body, the trembling limbs, and the eyes that are dim, and the fearfulness, and the variety of other problems that all of us will face in due time. John Quincy Adams, I'm sure you know of the great American John Quincy Adams, he was asked in his old age, "How are you keeping?" And his answer was as follows: "Thank you. John Quincy Adams is very well himself, but the house he lives in is falling to pieces. Times and seasons have nearly destroyed it. The roof is well worn, the walls are shattered, and it trembles with every gale. I think that John Quincy Adams will soon have to move out. But he himself is quite well." It's a good attitude. But the fact remains that it is difficult. And there are challenges. And challenges that the rest of us ought to understand when we're younger. J. Adams has written a book on the old age. I mentioned Clifford Pond's book, which is excellent, Autumn Gold. Jay Adams has written one called Wrinkled But Not Ruined. And the first chapter, he says, he tries to describe old age because he says now he is of an age where he can speak firsthand about what it is like. And he says that aging is a process of loss. Aging is a process of loss. It is a loss of stamina. It involves a loss of companions and friends. It involves loss of independence, loss of job, loss of finances, loss of health, and eventually, of course, loss of life. But we need to think about that, and we need to think about those particular areas and think about just how difficult they can be, what a challenge they can be to the saints of God. And it does involve sometimes catastrophic loss. And yet, the psalmist is saying these people who are presumably experiencing those kinds of things, he says they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall still be fresh and flourishing even as they are losing things and even as they are experiencing these kinds of losses that are described. They're still flourishing. Well, in these ways, they're flourishing. There might be loss of physical strength. But Paul says that as the outer man decays, the inner man is strengthened. And so as the body fails, the soul is revived and invigorated and strengthened by the power of God. And the Lord equips for every trial that comes along. How many times have you not been humbled in the presence of aged saints who manifest such tremendous evidence of the grace and strength of the Lord? There may be loss of memory, but they can still flourish and they can still bear fruit in old age because they remember that though they may forget many things, the Lord never forgets them. Well, at the end of the day, then, that is all that matters, isn't it? We may forget any number of things, but the Lord never forgets us. And then, even though we may forget many things, by the grace of God, we remember the things that are really important. John Newton, when he was an old man, said this. He said, "My memory is gone, but I remember this, that I am a great sinner and Christ is a great Savior." And then it's interesting, you know, to notice that people, when they get old and certain types of dementia afflict them, so often they always remember the Lord, you know. They're able to pray, and they're able to turn to God, and they're able to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. They remember that He is the Son of God. They remember that He is gracious and He is kind. They remember these things about the Lord, and so we're thankful for these things. And then even when there is loss of friends, because friends die away, and so they might have no friends who are their age. There are other friends, but no peers. And that can be difficult. There's loss of friends. But Proverbs tells us that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. We ought to be mindful of the difficulty of losing friends like that. And we ought to seek to try and be a blessing and try to help and try to befriend. But there is comfort like no other in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Oh, and then there's loss of health, isn't there? But they can still bear fruit. They can be steadfast in the face of that suffering, steadfast in the face of a disintegrating body, steadfast in the face of pain and the loss of all of these abilities, many of which they've taken for granted for years. And one of the reasons they can be steadfast is because they know that, oh my, in the not too distant future, they're going to have a glorious, perfect body. What a comfort. So you see, there is tremendous implication for those of us who might not be old and going through those kinds of things yet. As we think about this and these believers who steadfastly press on in the face of all kinds of affliction and ill health and all the rest,
the rest of the believers, at the very least, ought to sympathize, ought to understand. We ought not to be dismissive. We ought to understand that it can be really difficult to have your life become a round of doctor visits. It's not easy. And so when they, in the face of all of that, manifest steadfastness and faithfulness and perseverance, well, we thank God for that and pray that He'll help us to follow suit and finish well, even as they're finishing. But then we do want to sympathize, and we do want to encourage. We do want to help. And one of the ways in which we need to do that is to visit some of these folk who are housebound and struggling because of ill health, and do that in order that we might encourage them and in order that we might help them so that they might continue to be steadfast. So there is then this fruit of steadfastness in the face of suffering. And then fourthly, there is the fruit of service as health permits. Service as health permits. It's interesting that when you come to the Scriptures, there are many who were blessed of the Lord and served the Lord even into old age. Abraham was 75 when God called him and 100 when Isaac was born. Joseph and Joshua died at 110. David and Job and others were blessed and were a blessing well into old age. The Apostle Paul calls himself, refers to himself as Paul the Aged. And the Apostle John was an old man when he received the book of the Revelation. So you see, God can and does use His people mightily even in old age. The world might dismiss old age. And the world might see and view old people as those who have little or nothing to contribute to society. But the Christian church knows different because we learn from the Scriptures that that's simply not the case. Now, to be sure, old age kind of creeps up on us. There's a very interesting text in Hosea 7, verse 9, talking about the nation. But it says, gray hairs are here and there on him, yet he does not know it. And so sometimes these signs of old age creep up upon us, and other people notice it long before we have. But sometimes when people recognize that they're getting old, they sometimes see that as reason for and justification for being put out to pasture, as it were, and no longer engaging in service for the Lord. And that's not right either. Now, to be sure, there are limitations as we get older. As we get older, we need to recognize that we can't do what we used to do when we were younger. And I find I don't have the endurance and don't have the stamina that I used to many years ago. And so you need to recognize these kinds of things, and you might modify your schedule and modify the types of things you do, and you might retire. I don't think it's unchristian, unbiblical at all to retire as long as you are still productive and serving the Lord in some way and doing things that are useful and for your generation, for the glory of your God. But you might retire from what you've done all your life and go on to do something else. But the point is this, that there are tremendous and wonderful opportunities to serve the Lord. And even in old age, we're to serve the Lord. Paul says that we ought to always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain, 1 Corinthians 15:58. And so we're always to be doing things for the Lord. We're always to be glorifying Him. Now, you may end up on a bed in your old age, not able to move. But even there, you can do things for the glory of the Lord. Before you get there are all kinds of things. You can visit people and you can encourage the saints. You can use your expertise in any number of areas of Christian work and ministry. And so many, many things that creative Christians cannot come up with, where senior citizens are able to be so wonderfully productive and helpful in the lives of God's people, in the cause of Christ, and in society in general. One of the most important things, one of the most absolutely important things in the context of the church is a prayer ministry. I suppose it may well be that aged saints understand better than any of us the need for prayer. They've seen it more than all the rest of us. They've seen down through the years that God is a God who answers prayer. They pray down through the years. They've seen how wonderfully God can answer. And they see the necessity of it. And so I've seen very often the greatest burden for prayer is on the hearts of senior Christians. What a wonderful ministry. What a backbone type of ministry older people can have in the context of a church then. As they bathe everybody. And everything and all the ministries of the church and all the endeavors of the church in prayer. And as they embrace not simply their particular local church, but the church in this land and then the church around the world, and they keep up on things and pray and embrace all of the church of Christ around the world in their prayers. Tremendous. Well, the saints of God then bear this fruit of service, even in old age. And then number five, they bear the fruit of shared wisdom. They bear the fruit of shared wisdom. As I said, the world thinks that older people are irrelevant and they're out of date and they have little or nothing to offer or contribute. They don't have email addresses. They don't understand what the web is. They don't know what a MP3 player is. And so what possible contribution can they make to your life, you think? And that's what the world says. It's absolutely wrong. And so often, aged people are treated with disdain and with respect. Absolutely wrong. Leviticus 19:32. You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I'm the Lord. And they're to be respected. Because if they've lived godly lives, then they're going to have wisdom in old age. Job 12:12 says, wisdom is with aged men and women, of course, and with length of days, understanding. Now, remember what I said, that it doesn't come automatically. It comes as you, through the years, have walked with God. But as men and women, through the years, walk with God, you will find wisdom there. And you'll have the privilege of being taught by older people. Go over to Titus chapter 2. That's why Paul says what he does here in Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 and verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they should be, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So you see, what Paul is saying assumes that as these women have walked with the Lord down through the years, they have gleaned and gained wisdom, which they then must pass on to younger women. They must teach them. And then he goes through this tremendous list of a godly Christian wife and mother. Now, you older women, he says, you help these younger women. You teach them. You train them. You educate them. Now, in most cases, that's going to be done in some kind of informal setting. But you need to do that. It's going to be done in some kind of perhaps setting within the context of a home. But again, you need to do that. Now, by the way, the assumption here is that there is not a self-centeredness. The assumption is that there is an outward looking, not a self-absorption, not being taken up wholly and completely with me and my circumstances. That's a danger in old age as much as in any other time of life. And sometimes, especially in old age, because that's when things begin to break down and things begin to get really difficult. And so you might very easily become absorbed in that. But Philippians 2 still applies, even in old age, that you must think on the things of others. And so older women then think on the things of others. And they're concerned and burdened to share with younger women the wisdom that they've gleaned down through the years. Over lunch, having young women into their own homes, extending hospitality, but somehow making a point to pass on to them the wisdom that they've gleaned down through the years. Young people, young men and women need to be willing to learn. They can't teach you if you're not willing to learn. And so you need to be very careful to take advantage of it. Young people ought to take advantage in the right sense of their grandparents. Not to get money out of them necessarily, although that might be a wonderful side benefit. But you want to spend time with them so that you might learn from them, so that you might be inspired by them, so that you might glean wisdom from them, so that you can look at them and see how they're living their life and learn how they lived their life in the past and imitate them and be followers of them and walk as they have walked and imitate them as they've imitated the Lord. So take advantage of older people and take advantage of your grandparents to learn and to suck this nourishment of godly example from them. And then older people need to be careful to share their wisdom in a wise way. They need to be very careful to share their wisdom in a wise way. You can share your wisdom in a way that is not very wise. Clifford Pond writes in this way. He says, this is a concern of his. He says, when we see certain things that need to be addressed in our children, even in our grandchildren, he says, how can we avoid unwelcome interference, yet lovingly make our feelings and our thoughts known? It may be best to pray and be silent, or perhaps to pray for wisdom as to when and how to speak. Undoubtedly, the best contribution older people can make to a discussion is to help those involved to see aspects of the problem that they may not be aware of or have overlooked. Age tends to give the ability to see many sides of a question, learn from experience. Whether or not our opinion is asked, we may want to begin with, I think. But very often it will be more effective and acceptable if we begin, have you thought about this? There must be wisdom both in what we say and in the way we say it. Sage advice, I think. So the fruit of shared wisdom, we thank God for that. And then lastly, the fruit of solid hope. The fruit of solid hope. The destiny of the unbeliever is awful. Verse 9 of Psalm 92. For behold your enemies, O Lord, behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Whatever union they had, whatever brotherhood and camaraderie they had in their iniquity comes to an end when God judges them and they are scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire and my enemies. My ears hear my desire and the wicked who rise up against me. God will eventually and in due time punish the wicked. But the destiny of the righteous is glorious. The psalmist doesn't specifically talk about that at all, but Paul mentions it. Paul the aged, Paul near the end of his life, talks about what lies ahead for him. He knows his death is imminent. Maybe you've been in that kind of position. Maybe you've been in a position where you've known your death is imminent. That's when your hope becomes really real. Listen to what Paul says. As death is on the horizon, he says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And as Paul contemplates the end of his life, that's how he does it. Not with fear and not with dread, but with a recognition that the Lord will give him a crown of glory. And that he will see Jesus, whom he has loved. Though he has not seen him, he has loved him. And he loves the appearing. He can't wait to see the Lord Jesus. He can't wait for that moment when his eyes are open and he can really see the Son of God as he is. Imagine starting a day like this. Andrew Bonner said, I have been thinking that perhaps my next great undertaking may be this, appearing at the judgment seat of Christ. Can you imagine beginning a day and thinking that before the sun goes down, I will be in the presence of Christ? Imagine that. Or even thinking, you know, before too many days have passed, I shall be with the Lord. And so often you talk to saints, and they're manifesting this fruit, the fruit of a solid hope. And they're able then to endure affliction, and they're able to endure ill health. And they're able to press on and persevere and face sometimes things that make our knees weak and make us tremble. And they face these things because they have a solid hope. They have a hope of glory, and they know that in the not too distant future, they shall stand before the Lord. Well, thank God for saints like that. And thank God for those who bear the fruit even into old age. And all of this for God's glory. Because you see what the psalmist says? Verse 15, to declare that the Lord is upright. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. It is not for their honor. It's not for their praise. And that's why it's so inappropriate for us when we bury people to praise them to high heaven as if they're all of a sudden canonized. No, we recognize they're saved by grace and monuments to grace. And these folk who, even in old age, are bearing fruit, are doing that by the grace of God, for the glory of God. So thank God for saints who are finishing well, and pray that by the grace of God, you and I shall finish well to the glory of our God. Shall we pray?